Hello. Will you all pray with me? God, thank you for the words that you've shared with us this morning on what seems to be a happy occasion in spite of the weather. Just continue to reach out to us. Use the words you've put before me. Just let the thoughts of our minds and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen. Can you hear me in the back, or do I need to project more? All good? Okay. I can do that. So let me begin with some numbers. 132 is the number of times the word gather appears in the Bible, according to the NIV translation and Bible Gateway on the internet. 269 times is the number... I screwed up the words. Sorry. 132 is the number of times the word scatter appears in the Bible. 269 times is the number of times the word gather appears in the Bible, again, according to the NIV. 17 is the number of times the word gather and scatter appear in the same verse in the Bible. And one last number, 22 is the number of years old I was before someone pointed out to me how strongly scatter and gather are in the Bible. And I'm a pastor's kid. I don't know how many of you knew that, but I've heard a lot of sermons, and none of them had really mentioned this strong theme that was pointed out to me only a year ago. So here today I am to share with you these ideas and how they relate actually into kind of Jeff's sermon series as well, miraculously enough. So let me begin with scatter. Scatter, according to Webster's online dictionary, is to cause to separate widely, to fling away heedlessly, and to distribute irregularly. I want to distinguish between two different types of scattering and how their mechanism is, actually. For the end result is somewhat different. The first is the kind where if you take a handful of marbles and just drop them on the floor, they kind of go in every which direction. A very random scattering. The other one is a kind of directed scattering. This is, if you've watched Animal Planet ever, when a lion pounces on a herd of gazelles, they kind of take off and they really scatter out, but there's this direction to it as they're all trying to get away from the threat. And so there's this scattering until the threat is passed, and it's more directed. So biblically, the first instance of scattering occurs in Genesis 9:19. It's in the story of Noah, and after Noah and his sons have emerged from the ark, are out on dry land, we have this. And God let the water... Sorry, half a page ahead of myself. Genesis 9:18-19. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. This scattering is understood actually in accordance with an earlier directive than Genesis chapter 9. I would argue that the real first reference to a scattering is actually in the first chapter of Genesis. As God has created humankind, he gives them a blessing, and Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I highlight here this fill the earth idea. You can't really fill the earth, or you do it very slowly by not scattering over the face of the earth. So we have this idea of scattering from the very beginning. Gather, according to Webster's, is to bring together, to pick, harvest, and to serve as an attraction for. There's not really two types of gathering necessarily. It's all this stuff that was apart is now together. Although I will note that there are two different ways in which it happens. One is the kind of border collie rounding up a herd of sheep to gather them together. And the other is more of like some type of attraction, like something that would draw people in together for some purpose or some event. But biblically, the first instance of gathering actually occurs in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land and gathered the waters until he called seas. And God saw that it was good. This is a gathering of seas, but I want to actually highlight the first gathering of people, which I'm, again, going to go away from the specific word gather, but in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, it reads, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man." It's only two people, but actually when you look at the picture, it is Adam, Eve, and God coming together. It is a gathering, which I think counts. So scatter and gather. So far, I've given you four passages from very, very early in Genesis. And the reason why I do this is because I want to show you how strong the theme is even from the beginning. If you think about the rest of the Bible, there's a number of other examples, and I'm not going to go through all of them here and just highlight. But if you just reflect on some of what you know from the stories of the Bible, you can see the theme kind of pervading through it all. But beyond the stories there, I want you to consider today, actually, all of us. Today, we will leave here in a little bit to scatter back out into our communities, actually, for the upcoming week. Some may gather together for a meal or other event as we go, but otherwise we remain scattered until next Sunday when we all come back together and gather again. We actually enter this kind of routine of scatter and gather and scatter and gather, just week by week in our community together. What's more, the church in America actually has an idea of scattering with their mission ideas. We send missionaries out to other countries, and though they all come from these central places, and they when they arrive there, they're just the one by themselves. What we've sent are these people that leave with a blessing. Now, some stay and some are sent, but the prayer is that God will bless both places, those who have been scattered and those who stayed from the scattering. Or, as another example, consider Jesus and his disciples. Consider here in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. "The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the Lord of the ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves.'" And they do go, and then we find out actually in Luke 17, when they've gathered again, Luke chapter 10, verse 17, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" In this scattering and regathering, there is this anticipation and this joy of the events that are occurring. Indeed, we have gatherings and scatterings all around us, though we hardly use this lens to look at it this way. Consider a wedding. Stephen and Sarah just got married. Their family, their spouses, the two of them, and their families and friends gathered together to celebrate, and then scattered after having borne witness to the event. Or consider Mark and his two new grandchildren. With each of the events, Mark has been there as a gathering to welcome the child into the world. It really is all around us, I swear. But nobody preaches on this, and nobody talks about scatter and gather explicitly. And that makes sense, actually. Because the other themes in the Bible of love and grace and identity and provision are so much stronger, and they're so central to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who we want to always be focused and always pushing towards. Hallelujah, actually. So why bring it up? Why bring up scattering? Because the scattering and gathering isn't the focus. The scattering and gathering is often the mechanism that God uses. And so I bring this up to point out the mechanism that points us to the greater ideas of what God is doing in our lives. And that brings me to the third word in the sermon title, scatter, gather, and grow. Consider the gathering of people that will happen this summer out at the Creation Festival, not 200 miles east of here. Thousands of people will gather and hundreds of musicians, all for the purpose of worshiping God and coming together so that God can act and they will grow and they will scatter and continue to grow as they leave that place. Or consider the apostles in Acts. After the resurrection, the Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. And a time of persecution comes, and Stephen is stoned. And then in Acts 8:1, it reads, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. But that's not the end. In Acts 8:4, we find out those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. From the stoning of one person, the word gets spread. Although the event that caused it might not be the best, we still see God at work, even in these other events. So consider the description of our church that I gave, this scatter and gather week by week. Gathered as we are now, we will scatter and then gather again. But before we gather again, we have opportunities to grow. This is both in our personal lives as we walk day by day, but even in just simple invitations. It really gives us the opportunity to invite anyone we interact with, even simply, even our friends. Just this simple act of not staying clustered together in a community lets us scatter and grow and gather and grow. I think I cut out the part actually about my college experience, but in my college experience, there is the idea actually of when I came to you, actually, I was scattered away from my college. But even inside of that college experience, I've witnessed this. There was a fellowship that I was a part of there that actually resisted scattering. We were about 100 students, and actually the false idea was in the leader of the leaders of the group. If you can follow how there were a two-tiered leadership structure. But God saw through the false attitude and acted and scattered the four of them as far as Texas and Israel, actually, and everywhere in between. And the ones that I'd stayed in contact, the two of the four, talking to them a year after they'd been scattered like this, they just had glowing testimonies of what God had done and what God had changed and transformed their lives. Because as they went, he went with them. So there's an analogy here, I think, to two structures. And so one of them is actually the Tower of Babel. So if we consider Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, they said, the people who were present said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower that will reach to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves, or otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." God takes notice of their attempt to not scatter and intervenes. In verse 7, he confuses their language, and in verse 8, "So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. The people who had gathered, the people had attempted to gather whenever the Lord desired them to scatter." We see the Lord does get his way. But consider another structure. So I've proposed Babel. Now consider actually the temple in Jerusalem. In 1 and 2 Kings, especially for those of us who are part of the Bible study, the people had separated into two nations. There's the northern tribe of the Israelites and the southern tribe of the Judeans. And whenever they'd separated, the northern kingdom had constructed two golden calves in two places to keep the people in the north from going down to Jerusalem to worship, actually, and to try and keep them from gathering together in one place. And this is in direct contradiction to actually Deuteronomy 12, 1-7. And this is a long one, so bear with me. "These are the decrees and laws that you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess. As long as you live in that land, destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills under every spreading tree, where the nations you are disposing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles. Cut down their idols of gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in this way, but you are to seek the Lord your God. You are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name and there make his dwelling. To this place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give in free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat, rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord will have blessed you." In this instance, God desired the people to gather together, and they resisted. They tried, but they remained, they refused, and they remained scattered. It takes faith, which Jeff will continue speaking about next week. It takes faith without presumption to trust God, to trust him in this. And this is why I highlight the mechanism. For if God is calling you to California and you feel the pull, step out in faith, knowing that he goes with you and will greet you when you get there. The focus here is on the growth of the relationship with God, not on the gathering and scattering. Maybe the scatter prunes us a bit, or maybe a gathering shows us what is preventing us from growing. Maybe a scattering and then a gathering are, will transplant and place fresh nutrients at the roots. But the focus is always, as it always has been, on God and us. Scatter, gather, grow. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for bringing us here again today. Help us to continue to seek this community, and thank you for blessing us with everything you have been. In your name we pray. Amen.